The kingdom comes there and the kingdom goes there. And in our day and age, kingdom businesses and kingdom this and kingdom. I'm like, dudes, do you have any idea what you say? Because sometimes it sounds as though you just want to make money now for yourself. Now that you're a Christian, you want to call it a Christian business, kingdom business thing. The purpose of Jesus' coming is this purpose, that God's kingdom may come, that God may reign universally again. Because we're born in sin, we're born as rebels to God, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But it starts within. It starts with my day-to-day choices. It starts with the way I relate to people around me, that I may be loving and selfless as His kingdom demands, as the King illustrates, as Jesus illustrated, that I may be like Him, that I may naturally do His will. And that's the purpose of our prayer. And not, obviously not just here, not just Ross, but the reason why we come together to pray for our communities, for our families, the reason why we come together to pray for the nation, man, it's for this purpose. God, may Your kingdom come in South Africa, God. May Your kingdom come in my working place, God. May this hostility, God, this greed, this unrighteousness, God. And what is the kingdom? Many ways illustrated, many places. Paul said it's quite simple in Corinthians. He says, righteousness, whatever is good and right, whatever is right in the eyes of God, that is where God's kingdom reigns, because there people do His will, what is right in God's eyes. Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, when it says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called right, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We know that. And then it says, and of the increase of His government there will be no end. And He will reign, and He will establish, and He will order the earth again. He will bring people. His purpose of Jesus coming is to bring us under the reign of God. Very simple. And He says that's what when we pray, that is the purpose of our prayer. We pray to the person, our Father, who is holy, who is separate, who is great. And the purpose of our prayer is this: God, start in my life, take control. But God, not just in my life. God, in my neighborhood tonight when I sleep. Achrit and I do this every single night. Say, Father, we pray for peace, God. We pray that around us in the neighborhood, in Iversdal, in the area where we stay, and we pray in the borders of everyone in our small group, that's sort of the territory that we pray for. Mika, jy bly naby ons, blessed are you. When we pray for this, by name, everyone around us, we pray, God, that there may be peace. No turmoil, no anxiety, no fear, no hostility, no sickness, no death, no rape, no violence. Let there be peace in the homes around me, God, in my neighborhood. Let there be peace. Let there not be bloodshed tonight. Let there not be anxiety and fear and terror, God. Let there be peace where I stay, God. And Jesus, we pray, Lord, for righteousness, that there will be no theft, God, no nothing wrong, God, that there will be no murder, violence. There will be righteousness, what is right in Your eyes. May it happen tonight, God. So we pray for the police, God, and we pray for everyone walking around outside our Biertwach, and everyone, God, I pray for righteousness, what is right. May it happen tonight, God, in my home, but around us as well, God. And then, Lord, in Jesus' name, let there be joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. God, let there not be depression, anxiety. Let there not be heaviness, God. Let there not be fighting, God. But let every home, as our home, God, let there be joy around us, God. Let there be laughter in the homes, God. I pray that prophecy from Zechariah, it says that in the last days, in those days again, Jerusalem Street, now I just make it Cape Town Street. Cape Town streets will be again filled with the laughter of boys and girls, and young men, and old men and old women will again walk peacefully in the streets of Jerusalem because of the peace in it. And I pray for that, God. Joy and peace. Let Your kingdom come, Lord. I pray it for our nation, but whatever we pray, the purpose of our prayer is, God, reign. Because where You reign, there's goodness and there's peace and there's righteousness and there's joy. Reign in my life, God, but reign through my life. Kingdom comes within and kingdom comes through us, wherever the Spirit is. And then we move on from there, and that's when we pray for the provision. God, give me what I need, Father. I come to You as my dad, almighty, all-knowing, all-great God. Give me what I need, please. And then we list our stuff to God, whatever we need. Whatever we ask for in prayer, the Bible says we will have. We have not because we ask not. And that's where we partition this disc. Anyway, petition God. That's where we petition God. Die Afrikaanse boekie. Van julle het nie eens geweet nie, want julle is ook Afrikaans, wat ek nou gesê het. Anyway. But then we just pray for God. Please give me my stuff. And many times it's been said that we shouldn't ask God for stuff that we don't need. We shouldn't ask God for the stuff that we must just, you know, just the needs, not the wants. Just the bread, not the butter. And I want to say, if you know my father, you can ask him what you want. If you know dad, you can ask him what you want. He's good. He is generous. He doesn't just let you make it to heaven. He makes you a king and a priest to reign with him forever. It's like, it's not just you're going to make it to heaven. He says, no. Can I save you? Can I do it properly? And it's the same with all our provisions. He says, ask that your joy may be filled. To the measure you give, I will give and it will overflow. God is a generous father. Ask your father what you need. And some of you are tired of asking your father. Jesus said, seek until you find, knock until it's open, ask until you receive. Continue, ask him. Because the process of asking changes your perception. That's the purpose of many times waiting. It changes your heart, that God's kingdom, God's character of patience, endurance, trust, that it be shaped in you. And then from there on, the principle of prayer is obviously the pardon. Guys, I want to say we don't usually do this because of our teachings of grace and righteousness. But can I tell you what it does when you confess your shortcomings to God on a daily basis? It changes your view. It heightens your view of the mercy of God. How merciful he is. It highlights the cross. It doesn't diminish the cross. It highlights the work of grace on the cross. When you say to God, God, again, Lord, today, I just want to say I messed up. It's not as though you search yourself before you go to God. It's just as you pray and you go through your day, you go like, God, I'm still impatient. You are patient, but I'm not, God. Will you forgive my sins, Father? You thank him for the forgiveness of sins, but the point of petitioning for the forgiveness of sins is this thing. You recognize the greatness of the mercy of God, and you bring the whole point of your humility, your fallibleness to God. You recognize that, man, I'm not so hardcore. So it changes the way you relate to other people as well. And immediately after Jesus said, ask for forgiveness, he says, as you forgive. So it's easy to forgive other people for their offenses if you just said, God, again, ek was a aggressive man met my car vandag op die pad, God. I did not have the love and the grace of Jesus. God, forgive my sin, God. Forgive my, and it's not just the stuff that I do, but my sinful nature. Change me, God. Transform me. But God, I recognize that Peter was ugly with me, God, when he said that thing, and Corey was ugly when she said that thing, God. God, thank you for forgiving me. I forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Help me forgive them from my heart. Not just a mind thing, but really to pray and say, God, I have been wronged, but God, I'm also wrong. So humility just demands forgiveness. And then after that is obviously the principle of praying for protection. And we do this a lot. I mean, you see, jylle, van dat jy kinders kry, Peter weet, van dat jy kinders kry, man, we pray. Because this world is freaking sick. It's evil. So we pray for protection. But I want you to see the focus of Jesus' point of protection. It's not just to prevent evil from coming to me. He says, the major, and this is why I want us to pray tonight as well, when we pray, is the Father in Jesus' name. God, I am a fallible human being, God. And I've been saved by grace, Lord. But God, will you keep me from temptation, God? Because I know my weaknesses, God. Will you prevent me from falling into temptation, God, that I may not lose my faith in you, God, and lose my hope in you, God? Will you grant me grace, Lord, amidst difficulty or amidst temptation, amidst stuff that I'm wrong, God? Will you prevent me from sexual sin, God, that I may not dishonor you, God, and dishonor my body and someone else, God? Will you prevent me, Lord, from falling into the trap of greed again or just depression, God, or anxiety, God? Will you prevent me from not trusting in you, God, and from finding my delight in earthly stuff which fades away, God? But will you help me find my delight in you? It's not just a protection of physical stuff. Please pray that. Please pray that. But Jesus' focus of the prayer is, God, the preservation of your soul. The preservation of your soul. ask. And again, that humility of recognizing that I am fallible. And the longer we live, guys, let's be honest, the more aware we are of our weaknesses, the more aware we are of it, the more we failed in the same thing over and over. You're like, okay, I need grace here. So you petition to God for grace. God, will you give me grace today that I may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him? And then it ends in saying, God, again, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, God. Everything belongs to you, God. I'm here to serve you. So we're going to spend some time in prayer, and I'd like us to have smaller groups, like 4 people. And please, if you're visiting tonight, for those visiting, thank you for trusting ministry. It's always, I know, a bit difficult for people to walk into a new service. But tonight, we're just going to speak to our Father. I want you to talk to Dad. And how I recommend we pray is, say, for instance, if Johannes and myself and Debia are going to pray together, then all 3 of us just have a short opportunity just to speak to Dad and just to say, Father, you are holy, you are great. Just spend a time of praise. Just focus your attention on who this loving, great God Father is that we're speaking to, the Father Almighty. I want to say, theologically, there's not a better name for this short, the Father, Dad relational, who is almighty, who is limitless. So we're going to speak to Him tonight. We're going to pray. But just pray through the 5 principles. And you don't have to, please don't try to sound bright. Just talk to Dad like you want to talk to Dad. But let's just stop at every one of these points. So we're going to have a time of prayer. And if you're really a shy person and you really don't want to pray, then just tell the guys, listen, I'm really shy. Or just say, I'm just going to sit and listen to your prayers. It's fine. It's fine. There's no pressure. But let's speak to Dad tonight. Let's pray the Our Father together. Let's pray how Jesus taught us to pray. And I want you to think, as you pray, spend some time in prayer. We're going to have to stop at some point. So please, if we stop, please don't be offended. Let's spend some time together in prayer.